You're listening to Weird and Dead, the paleontology podcast that tells evolution's most embarrassing and bizarre stories. I'm Amy Atwater.
And I'm Megan Wetherell, and we're two living scientists who are weirdly excited about dead things. On this episode, we delve into all the magical and bizarre things you didn't expect a butthole to do, like become a house for fish,
or extend upward and outward to spray poop like a chocolate fountain,
or breathe.
Obviously, this episode will be discussing cloacas and feces, so choose your listening audience appropriately, and please pay attention to the content warnings in the description.
One of the things that happened on TikTok after, in season one, we talked all about the beautiful, resplendent sturgeon fossil that is stuck inside the asshole of a Brachylophosaurus, is that they pointed out that we missed a joke. And I'm ashamed because it was a pretty good one. It was a pretty goddamn good one.
We can't be everywhere all at once,
no,
Megan.
No, I feel bad about it. So as they pointed out, there is a pretty strong connection between sturgeon and pearlfish. And if you are not familiar with pearlfish, pearlfish are a type of fish that are specialized to live inside the buttholes of other animals. They're most famous for sea cucumbers. They don't just live in sea cucumbers. Some of them live in crabs. Some of them live in starfish. Some species aren't picky. They'll live in a couple different ones. Some species, they will only live in a singular species of butthole for sea cucumbers. And that's kind of, you know, the sturgeon was pearl fishing the Brachylophosaurus.
Wow. So are pearlfish really small? I mean, the animals you just described are not like giants. I mean, is this a king crab that they're in the butthole of?
No, these are very small fish. Think like minnows, minnow-sized fish. And they're using them for shelter. And in some cases, they are parasitizing. So there's only a couple of species that are actually eating the butthole of their host. A lot of them are just hiding in there. And it's not just one sometimes. Researchers have pulled sea cucumbers out of the ocean and placed them in buckets and then looked back later and found 15 fish.
It's a dormitory.
Exited. Yeah, it's a dormitory for pearlfish.
Have fun at college this year at that sea cucumber's butthole.
Yeah, so obviously, I feel like we should draw that connection. But also, there are so many other fascinating, bizarre things that animal buttholes can do. So that's kind of the topic of today's episode, is all the weird things that you maybe didn't know that you could do with a butthole, or that other things could do with a butthole. And I have been waiting for like 2 months now, because you mentioned a very specific butthole fact and then forbid me from Googling it. And I have been tortured. Like, this is the most self-restraint I've had to have in years, because I have not looked up this term. So please put me out of my misery.
And let me tell you, it's not just one term. As I dug deeper, I found more and more and more. And it's beautiful. So I'm just going to give you a lowdown on some of those. But yes, I'm currently captivated by crinoid anal chimneys. I can't stop thinking about them. And they're really interesting in modern crinoids. But what's really spectacular is what fossil crinoids did. And the fact that we have just so many specimens of fossil crinoids with an anal chimney preserved. But they're not all anal chimneys. Let me tell you the list of names I've come across.
But what is an anal chimney?
Oh, well, it's self-explanatory, is it not?
No.
Up on the rooftop.
That's where Santa goes for delivering crinoid presents.
I don't know
presents.
How Santa gets down this chimney. Or what reindeers he uses to land upon them.
Pearlfish.
So anal chimneys are in crinoids. We're going to talk about what a crinoid is, what a echinoderms are. Sometimes people confuse them for plants, but they're actually weird animals. Modern crinoids to me look like the birdie that you use when you play badminton. That to me is like what a crinoid kind of looks like. It's got these feathery structures it used to just kind of free float through the air. But fossil crinoids actually had a stalk that were attached to the seafloor. So these are marine animals. And since they're, and we'll talk more about this, their butthole and their mouth hole are in the same hole generally, they need to get shit away from their mouth hole so that they don't just re-eat their own shit. So they've evolved, or they did evolve, these insane structures to essentially go-go gadget butthole, if you will.
Oh, I will.
To, it's a hygiene thing. It's it's fun. So, but they're not all just anal chimneys. I also found anal tube, anal pyramid, anal cone, anal hose. anal sac, and anal plates.
Okay.
And they're all slightly different, and I'm excited to dive.
Okay, so they are different. It's not just synonyms when people didn't want to use chimney.
It's true. It's true. I think some of them are kind of, you can play around with them as you will. Some of them are distinctly different, and I'm excited to get into those. But when I started, I was under the, what I now think is a misconception, that they really just had one hole, right? Like, right, that's kind of what started this conversation, was like, well, what about the animals? Like, I always refer to my iPhone as being like an early invertebrate, because it has one hole, you know, and you have to do everything through that. But that's not entirely accurate either, right? I think of it as, I mean, it's the one spot on the organism, but are they truly mouth hole, butthole, or what is going on there?
All right. So originally we were going to entitle this episode One Hole to Ruin, or to Rule Them All, not ruin. That would be a totally different episode.
I mean, depending on, we have some evidence that it might be that.
Yeah, it might be that. But A, Amy doesn't understand the Lord of the Rings reference, and B, it's technically true. It's not actually one hole. So when we say butthole, we're saying that because it's a funnier word to us, but we are largely referring to cloacas or vents, which, as far as exit goes, they have one exit. A cloaca is when you put poop, you put piss, you put sperm,
babies,
anything else goes,
eggs.
Yeah, eggs, all goes out through the exact same exit. So it's one exit. But in almost all of the animals we're going to talk about today, they do technically have a different entrance. It's just that the proximity of the entrance and the exit sometimes leads to catastrophes, as you might expect, which evolution has provided some extremely bizarre adaptations to getting around. But they do technically have a single exit and a single entrance. They just might use them in very different fashions than humans use our exits.
Our holes.
So for example, sea cucumbers, not only do their anuses provide homes for fish.
So kind of them.
Yeah. And it was weird to me. I mean, everything about that is weird to everybody. But I wondered initially why they didn't go in the mouth, because sea cucumbers are kind of just like a big blob on the ocean floor.
So smushy.
They're so smushy.
Yes.
Apparently, it's very difficult to study their movements, by the way, because if you try to do a capture-recapture study,
they just go bleh, inside out.
That too. They do excrete their insides to scare. They throw their stomachs at predators.
Like they throw up their stomachs.
No, I think it's their respiratory systems.
I don't know. These are aliens, in my opinion.
But they will also, regardless of which organs, they're throwing some organs in your direction. Maybe it's if you come from the front versus from the back, because the respiratory organs are not in the front. They get rid of tags, like tags fall off of them because they're kind of squishy.
Yeah.
You can't tattoo them because their skin will push out the ink. So there's no way to tell if you have picked up that sea cucumber before in the open ocean.
Remember you.
Right? Just such a bizarre problem to have for a biologist.
Why don't you just put a tracking device on one of the mini pearlfish that's hanging out in its butthole?
Honestly, that probably would be a better strategy. Not all sea cucumbers do have
the roomy
pearl
enough
fishes.
Butthole for that. Like, I'm also wondering how big these, anyway, you know.
So the reason that they go for the anus and not the mouth is not because like sea cucumbers have like mouth teeth. They have like big tentacles. They don't have a very big mouth opening, but their anus is where they do all of their respiration. So they are butt breathers. They have a special organ in their butthole that is called a respiratory tree. And that is what some of the pearlfish are nomming on, although the pearlfish will also go in deeper and eat gonads. So that's super fun for the sea cucumber.
Get away from my gonads.
So what these pearlfish will do is, because the sea cucumber has its respiratory organs in its butt, it's not like a passive diffusion thing. They butthole breathe, like their cloaca opens, sucks in water, and then closes so that the water goes through the respiratory organs and then pushes it back out. So they have suction that will pull the fish in. And so not only do pearlfish live inside the butthole of these sea cucumbers, some of them back in, and then they poke their little heads out of the exit because they can get sucked up into the butthole
of
the sea cucumber.
So sometimes it's not consensual for the fishies to even go up. They're just being breathed in.
Well, maybe that was
butt.
Initially. They want to be there. They get near the butthole on purpose. They arrange themselves.
They're already in the neighborhood.
And while apparently this is symbiotic and not harmful for the sea cucumbers from many different species of pearlfish, so they're fine with it. I don't know. It gives them a friend. Right?
Yeah.
Write that children's story, please. Sea cucumber and pearlfish. But some pearlfish are not as nice of residents, and they will eat the gonads. They will eat the respiratory organs. They are parasitic. So those species of sea cucumber who have dealt with that problem, because again, these are like convergently, like they have an arms race between sea cucumber assholes and pearlfish.
This is beautiful.
I know. And so the species of sea cucumber that have to deal with the parasitic pearlfish, they don't have mouth teeth. They have anal teeth. Up to 25.
But do teeth have anything to do with breathing, even if they're in your mouth?
No. But, you know, you would assume that teeth go in the mouth, right? Like, that's the proper place.
Just like I'd assume that you breathe through your mouth.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And sea cucumbers are just like, going, you're an idiot.
No.
You don't know me.
You don't know me.
I mean, they're also like echinoderms, which they're the weird, like, when I think of echinoderms, they don't fit within what you think about.
Yes.
Like, they do still technically have that pentaradial symmetry, but it's like longitudinal or whatever. So it's not how you'd think of like a sea star, which is like probably the most well-known echinoderm. Yeah. So they're weird on every angle.
So of course some of them have up to 25 teeth ringing their asshole so that when they close their sphincter, the fish gets crushed if it's not all the way in.
So it's like a garage door.
Yeah.
Without a sensor. It wants to. But if they do get crushed, then they just have a dead fish in their ass? Or does
They can breathe out. They can do that. However, those species are still parasitized by pearlfish. Because this is an arms race, and those pearlfish have just gotten skinnier.
We will get there. I will get there. Wow. Having some mad respect for sea cucumbers. I already thought they were pretty cool. If I have any time, I'm at a tide pool experience, like at an aquarium.
Oh, yeah.
I will shove children out of the way so that I can touch that sea cucumber.
Think she's joking, but that's because you have not seen her go for a junior ranger badge. It is a little frightening.
Wow. Okay. So unknown echinoderm facts. I mean, that's where I spent a lot of my time was echinoderms. Like I now have such newfound respect for echinoderms. Again, so echinoderms are invertebrates. Mm-hmm. They are things like sea stars. They're things like sea urchins, sand dollars.
No bones, despite the fact that they have calcareous teeth. And I could not find this paper, but I did find a paper before that was just, I'm pretty sure it was a grad student arguing about how we can't call them teeth anymore and had like, which I get it, but like.
Because they're not enamel. They're not dentine and enamel.
Probably the funniest paper concept of all time. Let's just argue about whether or not we can call the butt teeth.
Anyways. I think you can call them whatever you want to. I mean, they're pretty unique. So wow.
So we were going to talk about crinoids.
I think it's like if you're not a fan of echinoderms yet, you're going to be, or you should probably stop listening because it's not going to get any tamer. We're going to continue to be.
We will talk about vertebrates because my God, there are a lot of animals that breathe through their assholes,
which is goals, really. Yeah. You know. I was trying to get that manuscript published, but fuck that.
I just need to learn how to butt breathe.
Like, I just need to figure, I mean, do you have to be like inverted? Anyway, I have questions. Mm-hmm. We'll get to them, but let's talk some more about crinoids.
Oh, no.
Crinoids are spectacular. Again, so the living ones are really feathery. They're called sea lilies a lot as well. The cool ones, though, we had a greater diversity of crinoids back in the Paleozoic than what we see today.
Okay.
And they were really prolific. And they all had this same problem that we're discussing, which is their cloaca, which they call in crinoids the tegmen. So that's the name for the entire hole.
That's a beautiful baby name.
Oh, tegmen. Go tegmen. I like it. So that's essentially what holds both the mouth hole and the butthole. And the anal pyramid is actually kind of like a little calcareous little like cover.
Is it pyramid shaped?
Yeah, a lot of times. Yes. Okay. Yes. Sometimes they're also called an anal cone. I really want to start this section on fossil crinoids to say, okay, I found the most amazing blog. It's called the Echino blog. It's professor, I believe his name is Chris Ma. He's my hero. I think we need to befriend him based on the beauty of his writing.
I'm also fairly certain I found his blog too. So.
Yes. When you're researching these topics, it's impossible not to, which is how I was like, this is our friend. And he referenced this book called Fossil Crinoids. So I was like, oh, I'll just buy it. You know, silly, naive Amy. And then I go search for it online and it's like $300 freaking. So if someone wants to gift that to me, I'd be ever so grateful. But what I did instead, millennial genius, is go onto Google Books and find it. And you can't look at all of the pages. So I just searched. I just searched for the word anal.
Oh, great. Better results on that book than Google, I'm assuming.
Well, I didn't. Yeah. I don't recommend it on Google. Don't do it on Google. However, if you go to Google Books, fossil crinoids, and search anal, you'll come up with all of these gems. I think there were like 55 occurrences and I read every single one of them. It's also my low key goal of this episode to say anal so many times that we
only
like break.
Adam and Eve can ever sponsor us.
Yes, yeah. Please. And that we break a world record. I don't think we will because there are some kinky podcasts out there. And I don't want to compete with that.
Maybe the most time said on a science podcast.
There we go. There we go.
Set our goals low.
There are a lot of anal adaptations going on in fossil crinoids. Mm-hmm. And the reason there's so many names is because they've all evolved independently of each other. Like they've all had to figure out different ways to get their shit away from their face. And it seems like it's both like what's fucking incredibly cool to me is you can actually reconstruct paleo environment aspects from their different anal adaptations, because some of them are literally for, oh, I'm in a very slow moving, no water, low energy environment. So I have to go gadget butthole to get my poop away from my mouth so it doesn't just fall right back in. And then other ones are in like higher energy environments and their go gadget buttholes also work as an anchor to help steer their feather arm to catch food.
Explain that.
So the anal tube seemed to be in higher energy environments because it was literally also thought to be an like to tether them as well to the ground, which means I have to get you to some of these images so
yeah,
that you can understand.
I'm going to have to see that. Like, are they flip-flopping over
to
anchor themselves?
Let's take a look.
Okay.
All right. So let's go ahead and go to that document. You can go ahead and scroll down to this first page. Here is Euparosinus nashvillei. The thing about crinoids is that their entire bodies essentially are made out of calcium carbonate, which means they fossilize really, really well because they're already minerals to the point. So here you're seeing a very, I mean, again, if Adam and Eve talk to us.
When you look up the photos of this on our blog, you will very much understand why.
You're looking at like, I'm sorry, but to me, they're like ankylosaurs, but for invertebrates.
Yeah.
Like this is an armored dildo if I didn't know anything else. It's not though. It's a fucking fossil crinoid.
I don't understand any piece of what I am looking at.
So that's why there is an illustration on the right that at least shows you which part is the anal tube. It's missing the very tippity top, which would have been its anal pyramid. And then like we've got like kind of like the stalk, right? Going up to the base and then it flares into that kind of weird diamond.
Very important for Adam and Eve's.
Yeah, we need a flared base. You have a flared base. And then you go up the stalk and it has those spiny regions there, midway up the anal structure.
What are the spines? Are the spines the tentacles?
That's where the feathers. Those are where the arms would have been. So here we don't have the arms fossilized, just like the core of it.
Okay.
So the arms would have come out at that really spiny region. And then everything above it, which is a couple of inches.
Yeah.
Is a full-blown anal tube. It's the rudder of its boat in a way.
Okay, the rudder, okay.
Not always an anchor, sorry. I don't understand boats very well.
No, I would not say that you understand boats at all.
I've seen some reconstructions where they're like dragging on the seafloor too.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
do think
that is a heavy thing to be waving around in the water.
That's what I'm saying. What if your butthole came out of your body like multiple inches and was encrusted?
Was like a massive, like that tube is like a third of the body size.
Yes!
Is it retractable? retractable in others?
In others, it is retractable. I think in some, and Chrisma, hit us up. Let's do a bonus, or a deeper dive.
Or honestly, just tell us. We just want to know.
So there are other ones. Like if you scroll down to the second image, I have been told this is macrocrinus.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
This is the one that I've been trying to buy for you for a very long time. This is the one that if I tattoo a crinoid on my body, I think it's going to be this one. It's so beautiful.
It's got a unicorn horn.
It is, but that's its butthole. Mm-hmm. That unicorn horn is where it shits.
It's magnificent.
It is spectacular. And you can see the feathers here kind of enveloping around it.
Yeah, like now, it's coy.
No, it's like it's a like negligee. It's lingerie for its freaking
teasing you with how
carbonate
large its
butthole.
Its anal chimney is.
So if you look up other macrocrinus specimens, you will see that they don't all have an anal chimney because they are not always there. It is only when they are excreting their waste.
So they have them. It's just inside.
It's tucked away.
Yeah.
It's tucked away. And that's where the go-go gadget butthole comes in.
Yes.
Is it does actually protrude out, shit in the wind, and then come on back down. And by in the wind, I mean underwater.
Underwater. The water wind.
So to see an even more spectacular one, go ahead. And
this is so beautiful.
This
and
next
elegant.
One, though, is really spectacular. Like, gorgeous.
Oh, my God.
That's what? Its anal tube of, let's see, what is the name of this one? I think I wrote it down. It's Pterocrinus.
You're sure that's not a tapeworm?
Right? I mean, no, because Chris Ma and other experts on the internet told me this is an anal tube.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would believe them over.
Yeah, and I should have reached out,
so
and maybe now we will.
Just to describe, in case you are not currently looking at the weird images that are on our website, what we're looking at is a fan of feather-like appendages coming out of a stalk, so kind of like a feather duster, and then it looks like a ribbon has just kind of coiled out of it that is longer than any other portion of the crinoid.
Yeah, no, exactly. And it
I don't even know how to describe the first one that we saw. It's like a totem pole of nightmares.
I had to go into the fossil crinoid book to read about it because I was so confused. And luckily, as long as you search anal, you'll find it.
Research tips from Amy Atwater.
It's a long book. I wasn't interested in all of it. I just wanted to know about its butthole. And so anal was the secret word to get me there.
Okay.
So, I mean, I've been learning a lot about, and before we check out more images, let's talk more about these potential functions.
Great.
So I've been talking about it's really get that poop away from my face.
Yep. Perfect.
Which makes a ton of sense. You don't want to ingest your feces.
Yeah.
Most people are not,
it's a smokestack for shit.
It's not two crinoids, one cup, you know?
Why? You know that that is now aging us, right? Like, that is not something.
I know.
That's a millennial thing.
I know.
What a horrifying thing to have associated with our age group. Anyways.
Well, it could be worse. You could be a 300 million old crinoid with your butthole fossilized.
I guess that's true.
Actually, I think that's awesome.
Yeah, that's actually
pretty
cool.
I don't wish this.
Moving on.
Okay, so again, like we talked about it. So it's a hygiene thing.
Yeah,
get that poop away from my face. And then there's also some that want to stabilize and direct the crinoid like a rudder. And so talking about get that poop away from my face, let's go scroll down and look at the next one, the next image.
Down.
This is a plate. You can actually go to the page below it too to see the interpretation and the illustration from fossil crinoids. Actually, if you look at the first image, I'd love for you to tell me which one of those features you think is the butthole.
So what I'm looking at here is it looks like, you know what it really looks like, Amy? And we'll probably cut this. It looks like when I got my dog Jelly Bean, and we named her Jelly because her belly was full of jelly. Turns out it was worms. And so we dewormed her, and she pooped out something that looked like translucent pine needles. And that's what this looks like.
You're right. Wow, you're right. These do look like pine needles. Yes.
And she also knows that it looks like that poop because I definitely sent her a picture.
Yeah. And I've dewormed a cat before.
Yeah.
And ooh. I remember. Yeah. And all of these, though, you see the one that's like only going halfway up and then kind of does a little boop in the image there?
Yeah.
That one is the anal chimney.
Fern frond.
Yeah, the fern frond. And if you scroll down, you can see a wonderful image of it where it's the anal tube that is protecting. And those are, they called them like anal half circles, like anal armor.
You took this picture and you very clearly ripped it from Google Books with the word anal highlighted.
I was waiting for you to notice that. As I was taking my screenshots, so I was like, I'm not lying.
It's a black and white screenshot, but with yellow highlighting on the word anal as if I'd miss it.
It's how I got there. And I thought of that when I was taking
those
screenshots.
Great to know that Google Books has searchable images, though. So
it was, I mean, it was spectacular. But here's how it also shows you why there's so many different names associated with it. Because these are the anal tubes that are kind of creating this long structure that looks like one of the feathery arms. And it's protecting the anal sac that's kind of within it. And then at the very tip again is the anal pyramid, which kind of opens up and the waste actually comes out of that.
Okay. So it's dedicated again, a whole arm to tube, then pyramid. What's the sac for?
Oh, the anal sac has a bunch of different functions depending on which crinoid you're talking about, which leads me beautifully into the next.
It's like I knew where we were going.
So we can scroll right down to this next one. And the top image here shows you the fossil. It kind of looks like it's flipping you off a little bit. That's the anal cone. The kind of like wilted petals around, and then we have like the wilted petals underneath of it, and then we have kind of the stalk, and then there's
a Pokemon.
It does look like a Pokemon, but it's very anal. You can tell that I took this as a screenshot because anal is once again highlighted
perfectly.
This is Basidiocrinus, whether BI, and so it is thought that it had like this anal cone on top, and then that kind of like parachute spinous structure around it. That's its anal sac. Now, why would you have an anal sac that kind of looks like a beautiful Pokemon flower?
It looks like a lovely little hat.
It does look like a lovely little hat. So it has been interpreted that these big, frilly anal sacs were so spinous and pokey, and that they were like a deterrent to predators. Like it was an anti-predation thing. However, others think that this big, frilly sac was actually more like an offering to predators. And it was like a non-lethal interaction outcome. Like, take my big pillowy anal sac.
So it's like a lizard tail.
It's exactly like a lizard tail.
Right.
Yes. And that they could lose that without the entire organism being lost and still survive. And I guess it could just regrow.
I mean, it does look like a little hat.
It's
so
anal sac.
Take off the hat. God, these are weird images.
You're welcome. I know.
I'm so glad that I finally get to know all about anal chimneys.
Oh, and then the next one, I don't really have anything to say about it except for how funny it looks. It too is missing its anal chimney at the very top of its anal tube.
I think the funniest thing about this one is that it looks like a little like monk haircut.
Yeah.
So it's like a crinoid where the feathers just kind of like look like bangs, like a bowl cut bang. And then there's just this unicorn horn of an anal chimney poking out the top. Lovely.
To just like tell you how much I'm obsessed with the Echino blog, I knew that we were meant to be best friends when I best friends, comma, echinoderm division.
Okay.
I mean, he wrote this whole amazing blog post about it, some other great images.
Okay.
And he was like, oh my gosh, there's so much more I could probably say. I briefly touched on snails that parasitize their anuses here, .. And I was like, oh my God. So just scroll on down to that final one. And that's where we see, please describe what you're seeing here.
It's like a nice kind of spiderwebby structure that I'm assuming is the crinoid tentacles. And on top, but also somehow seemingly embedded, is a very large snail.
Yes. So this is a platyceratid snail that apparently goes after, is a parasite, and we find them in this relationship quite often.
Okay.
And they are literally on top of the cup, which is where the mouth is found, surrounded by those feeding arms, and they're often found clamped over the anus. So they were poop eaters, coprophagus. They were eating the crinoid shit, and there are tons and tons and tons of research being done, or has been done on this, and I'd love, you know, it's tangential to this, but we gotta at some point go there.
I mean, they're the pearlfish of crinoids?
They're the pearlfish of crinoids.
Except they're eating excrement.
They're eating shit. Yes. Yep. They're eating crinoid waste, which you got to wonder what's really in crinoid waste when you're a filter feeding strange organism. Because they kind of use their feathery arms to like sieve things down. And then there's like funnels and grooves towards the mouth hole. And so they're sitting, though, explicitly on the butthole part of the tegmen.
They know what they want.
They know what they want. They're there for a reason, and they're found this way over and over again. And I just want to say that that wraps up most of my facts at this point. Okay. But I will just say that I worked really hard to try and buy us anal chimney specimens. Yes.
Yeah.
And I reached out to a couple different fossil sites and left them the weirdest messages I've ever written. And I offered them like, hey, I'll promote you on social media and stuff. And I haven't had a reply on any of them.
I don't understand why people don't want to have that promoted, that they sell anal chimneys.
Yeah. And like, I also was asking for a discount, of course, because that's my forte. And they maybe that's why they weren't. And I was like, joke's on you. When we get uber famous.
Yeah. So please follow us on Patreon so we can buy anal chimney specimens.
Oh, actually, I do have more pictures for you because, okay, sand dollars, I couldn't really figure it out. Sea stars, so like they say that they have like an anal cone, but I guess they eat like a lot of sediment. And like a lot of it is because they're so buried in the sediment all the time that they have to get rid of their sediment. So that's what they protrude through their anal cone. Okay. But technically, that cone isn't connected to their actual digestive system. So my friend Chris Ma said that they don't technically count as true buttholes. And then when I read more, I read that they kind of just diffuse poop through their tube feet arms. Maybe. I'm still really confused about how some crinoids take a shit is really the conclusion. And sea cucumbers. I don't understand that. And then he wrote that brittle stars actually don't have a true anus. Quote, got no anus. And apparently food goes in and out the same hole, which is the mouth. So in brittle stars, I think it really is actually one hole and that they like for some reason. But united. If you want to look at some
multi-purpose,
some urchins have some interesting. So this first image is oftentimes referred to as like the eye of a sea urchin. Guess what?
Not an eye.
Not
the
an
brown eye.
Eye. A big brown eye. And then just scroll down to see some of these anal sacs full of sea urchin poop. Is that
sea urchin poop?
That's sea urchin poop.
That is a weirdly beautiful image.
Isn't it gorgeous? Yes. And it's then,
like,
yes.
Yeah, it looks computer generated for sure, but it looks like a pretty computer generated thing.
Yeah, just with like a little pinata
poop. Yeah.
Like hanging out.
Oh, I wasn't even looking at the poop part. I was looking at like the radiating like sea urchin spines. The sea urchin butthole is truly a marvel.
It's beautiful. I mean, I think we're going to watch some videos after this too, and maybe post some. But I did want to say that I'm really sorry that I couldn't buy you a crinoid butthole.
Oh my God.
So instead I printed you a crinoid or a couple crinoid buttholes as a poster. So this is for you. This is for you with all of the favorite buttholes we just talked about.
Amazing.
And we'll post some pictures of this.
I love it. I clearly will have to take some photos with that.
Yes. I wish. I'm still working on it.
Yeah.
If you guys are out there and you have a fossil crinoid with an anal chimney chute poop hose tube, anything, let me know. Mm-hmm. We'll pay some money for it, but I don't want to pay a ton of money.
We understand that they're valuable, but we're also poor. So,
yes.
Yeah.
$100. And let me know what I can get for $100.
Okay.
No, these other ones were like $300. And I was like, man, I'm really into this, but I don't think I'm that into this. I'm not quite there yet. Yeah. So that's like all I've been thinking about for weeks. So now I'm really curious to hear about other weird animal.
Yeah.
Like shock me beyond, because this was already so fun.
So this was so fun and this was so good. And I have some really fucking weird facts to go through.
Oh, yeah. So. I just also want to say that Megan and I are here recording this together, which is really fun and different. And last night was torturous because we're both giggling at our computers and like we're each
doing our final research.
Yes.
We're going to go back into not pooping through an elaborate butthole, but using a butthole to breathe, because that was my whole thing. And the weirdest part about this is that I had Google links that were already purple. Like, I have looked this up before just for myself. So now I get to share it with everybody else.
You are a fucking weirdo.
I'm a fucking weirdo. All right. So when we are talking about animals that breathe through buttholes, I mean, there's like dragonfly larvae. They have gills on the inside of their abdomens. So they pull water in and then they shoot it back out. That's also how they transport themselves.
And they pull it in through their butt.
Yes, through their butt.
That's what you, okay.
So they're also butt breathers, but that's not nearly as funny. I mean, pause for that mental
right,
image.
So
to
wait,
go
they, why are they, it helps them move when they're in like a larval stage or as their actual true,
you know,
flying around?
No, not as they're flying around.
Okay. I was just like, they're propelling themselves with butthole juice?
They through the water. Yeah.
Wow.
They're a little jet, think like, you know, like squid.
But
through
their
butthole.
Through your butthole. Yeah. God. Yeah. God, we're so boring. God.
No. Our anatomy is stupid. All right. So The big animal that has been studied for many, many years because of its butthole breathing is turtles, specifically freshwater turtles, because for a long time we weren't sure why they were able to hold their breath for so long underwater. So turtles, some species of them, their juveniles, can stay underwater for several days without coming back up for air, which is a long time.
That's a long time.
And yes, turtles are cold-blooded. They need sun warmth. You don't imagine that they have a high metabolism. That's still a very long time for an animal that seems to be breathing air. And the thing is, yes, they do breathe air. They have a second set of lungs. So.
What?
Yeah. I mean, it's not a lung, but it's not a lung. And it is, of course,
okay,
inside the butthole.
Well, duh. Yes. Where else would you store it?
And so this form of respiration is called cloacal respiration.
Love this. Anal adaptations anal and cloacal.
Cloacal respiration. And they suck water up into their tushy. And then they have really elaborate kind of wrinkly buttholes that actually have two, in some species have, they're called, I never know if the word is bursa or bursae. There's an E at the end of it, but whatever. They have these two kind of wrinkly sacs that kind of go off and have like more surface texture to do cutaneous respiration. So cutaneous is through your skin, and they are not the only ones that breathe through their skin. Frogs breathe through their skin. There's some salamanders that have gotten rid of their lungs entirely. They just breathe through their skin. So it makes sense that they are breathing through their skin, but they're in a shell. So they had to increase some surface tissue in, you know, areas where it's convenient, which include the butthole. So they found out that in some species of turtle, a freshwater turtle, they can breathe so much air through their butthole that they can get up to 70% of their oxygen through their butt.
Through their butt.
Which is why they can dive for so long. Because they're not running out of air. I want you to envision how they figured out that that's how turtles breathe that much oxygen through their assholes.
Well, I can only imagine it's through literally trying to drown turtles for a really long time. I feel like that's the human answer. Is like,
nope, it's not the 70s anymore. These papers were done in the 2010s.
Someone was making out with a turtle asshole and it like sneezed on them.
Ew. Ew. No. So initially, they found out that these animals had bursa or bursae or whatever they are. Back in like the 1700s, they started really describing them in the 1800s. They didn't know at that point if they were for respiration, if they were for carrying water around for freshwater turtles when they lay eggs to drop water and like soften up the ground.
Okay.
But turns out they just piss on the ground.
Duh. Yeah, you already got obviously. Water.
Yeah. So when you're measuring respiration, they put you in a tank of water in this particular case, and they basically can measure, they have tools to measure both the oxygen concentration in the air and the oxygen concentration in the water. So they can't always measure it in the turtle, but they can measure the change between the water and the surface. But in this study that I'm talking about, they wanted to know if it was specifically water in the butthole. So not other skin, because they have some wrinkly necks. They wanted to know that it was specifically butthole. Whole breathing.
Yes.
So to test it, they had to plug the butthole.
Oh.
But they have really...
Adam and Eve.
Oh no, it gets more. They have very wrinkly buttholes and each one is unique. So in order to ensure that these turtles were unable to butt breathe, they made custom butthole molds
that they then
taped into their butt for the duration of the experiment.
But I mean, as long as you got the entrance, why would you need all the inner workings to also
because
be plugged?
Because it's wrinkly and it's close to the entrance.
Oh, so they can still
diffuse.
Yeah,
so you've really
got
to have like a crinoid shaped structure.
Wow.
Yeah.
So someone's job was to cast and mold buttholes of living
cast
turtles.
Cast and mold turtle butt bugs, wow. Basically. In this paper, they also mention that the biggest turtle... They had to exclude from it the statistical analysis because when they put it in the tank, it started to panic. And they said it was because it was big, so it couldn't really turn around. But I can't imagine being filled with a custom butt plug and placed in a tank and not freaking out. Like, that just seems
well, and
like
they're suffocating
guarantee.
Them.
Yeah.
They are literally trying to in a way to figure out if they are
they're
or not.
They're not. They don't suffocate them, but they're seeing how much oxygen. They remove them from the tank once they establish, you know, that
they're
if you plug the butt, they go for the air.
Right.
if you don't plug the butt, right, then you stay underwater.
Right. This with non-consensual animals, yeah, is, yeah, would be absolutely terrifying.
These were also wild turtles that they
took.
Oh,
gosh. So they're like, we snatched them from their environments. They're comfortable.
This is alien abduction.
Yes. And that, right. Yeah. And then we probe
them. It's always about butts.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. How did that get funded?
I don't know.
Who wrote that grant proposal?
I don't know, but they're a genius.
Give me tips, right? So that I, yeah, can write better proposals.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so turtles. Okay, so we're talking reptiles. I mean, and they've been around for, mm-hmm, a long time. Do you think that this is an adaptation that they've probably had, like, deep time?
So it's hard to tell because it's obviously not a bony structure.
Yeah.
I wonder if this is an adaptive use of hemorrhoids.
Oh, my God. She warned me that she was going to get hemorrhoids in here somehow. And she did it. She did it.
So let me, I'm just going to quickly copy paste this image into our file so
perfect,
you can see it.
Perfect.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. Hemorrhoids.
Yeah. And yeah, that's why it's hard to cast in mold.
It's really hard to cast in mold. I mean, mm-hmm, that looks like a zoomed in shot of a bunch of bacteria or something like that.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like a really fibrous cleaning mat or something like that.
So they also, they specifically say they use Coltex dental lab putty.
Thank you, yeah, for letting us know. Yeah, materials and methods are so.
Us.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay. So if one animal is able to breathe out their derriere,
mm-hmm,
I mean, is this a trend? I mean, they can't be the only ones.
I'm sure they're not the only ones, but turtles are really the ones where it has been. And it's not tortoises. It's not sea turtles. It's freshwater turtles. And it's a couple specific families. I'm not sure if it's I think it was convergently evolved in several species of turtles. But I thought we maybe should finish off this episode by talking about human butt breathing.
Oh, good. Yes. Oh,
okay. So when we were coming up with the idea for this podcast episode, in between laughing hysterically.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Amy mentioned that she had read a book this summer about smoking cigarettes through your asshole.
Yes.
And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you can't fucking do that, Amy, because your butthole cannot suck hard enough to get air into it. But what you can do is give yourself an enema of tobacco smoke.
So you can get it in?
Yep.
But you can, can't.
But you have to blow it in.
Oh.
You don't just put a cigarette up to your brown eye and take a puff.
All right. I believe you until someone proves you wrong.
But
I
what you
me.
Can do is you can film yourself doing this, as long as you're just filming the tube process and telling people what you're doing. And you can put that video on Wikipedia. And even though people have very clearly tried to take that down many times, Wikipedia now has a little like notation saying people have tried to take this down, but we could not find a good reason to do so. So there is,
wow,
a video if you would like to see somebody putting smoke in the tube that is theoretically going into their butthole.
Wow.
But even though that is a ridiculous thing now, in the 1700s, that was a big thing. Tobacco smoke enemas were huge. Because, of course, 1700s physicians were psychotic and they were just trying anything.
Why were they doing it?
So they gave tobacco smoke enemas specifically to drowning victims to resuscitate them.
So they, like, give them a stimulant in their,
uh-huh,
butt?
So the stimulant in the butt is supposed to absorb into the blood. I'm assuming faster than the mouth, although realistically it's probably just that physicians were kind of butt obsessed.
And everyone was cigarette obsessed too.
And everyone was just cigarette,
like,
obsessed.
Cigarettes are a cure all,
yes,
for everything.
Yes.
Wow. Huh.
So with the tobacco smoke enemas.
Yeah.
There was at one point they were trying to prove that they worked. Of course, you can't just drown somebody for the scientific test.
Yeah.
Even in the 1700s, that was frowned upon.
Yes.
So they just offered monetary awards to anybody who could prove that they had brought back a drowning victim with tobacco, which means that at one point there is a story of a woman who drowned and her husband was trying to resuscitate her. And he took a pipe filled with burning tobacco and shoved the stem in her butt. And she did come back. Probably because there was burning char in her butthole.
Yes, right. How do we show that it's,
yeah,
not the burning and the surprise,
yeah,
over the actual tobacco itself? So humans are still unable to breathe out of their butts.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
I guess this fictitious novel I read was wrong.
Have you ever heard the term blowing smoke up your ass?
Yeah, of course.
That's what this is from.
But that means like you're fucking around with someone, right? Doesn't that be like, don't blow smoke up my ass?
Yeah,
like
because
when
it
you're
doesn't
like,
work.
Oh,
yeah.
I was going to say, I'm not usually drowning when I say that to people.
No. Huh. All right, I'm gonna take us out on a poem that surgeons used to use in the 1700s to remind people to take it anally. and the word glister means enema. Tobacco, glister, breathe and bleed. Keep warm and rub till you succeed. And spare no pains for what you do. May one day be repaid to you.
Science.
So many things you could do with a butthole.
It's just so fun. Ugh. I'm glad I got into science, but I had no idea that it was way cooler than I ever thought it could be.
Yeah, they don't like give you a tour of different sciences you can go into. And even if they did, they probably wouldn't be like, your job could be making custom butt plugs for turtles or studying poop eating snails. But I wish they did.
I wish they did. Mm-hmm. I wish they did. And if you are a
more
advisor,
respect on echinoderms. Now,
oh, you know? Well, you know, they are our closest relative, invertebrate relative to us.
Yeah.
So they are the
that
closest
doesn't impress
things
me,
to vertebrates.
Poop
shoots. Well, it means they're just 1 degree closer, which is exciting. I feel closer to them
I
now.
I mean, they're like basically a bony jellyfish. So like that doesn't, I know that it's not real bone.
Jellyfish are not echinoderms.
No, that's what I mean. They're closer to us than
jellyfish pooping is also confusing.
Oh, that we should do a whole episode.
Yeah, jellyfish are fucking weird. Yeah, we have to do a Burgess Shale and then we can definitely talk jellies then and some other fucked up
shit. I mean,
shit.
Honestly, we could probably just put it in anywhere.
Yeah, yeah, it fits. It goes. So, I mean, this is first of many journeys. I mean, no, it's not the first. We've already done a lot of buttholes and we're not stopping. So
no,
don't.
No matter how many old men leave comments on iTunes about how crude we are. Yeah, this is what we are interested in. So
it is. Yeah. And if you are a PhD advisor out there looking for a student to study buttholes and echinoderms, I might go back to school for that.
Yeah.
Might be the only thing that'll get me to actually pursue that fun one of these days.
Thank you for listening. If you liked the podcast, be sure to rate and review us on your listening platform of choice. We really appreciate it.
If you'd like to hear more and support the show, follow us on Patreon for some exclusive bits or on our various social media platforms. You can follow Amy on Instagram at Mary Anning's Revenge.
And Megan on Instagram and TikTok at Geopedal Fabric, or both of us at Weird and Dead on Instagram and TikTok. This podcast is part of the Geology Podcasting Network.
Produced by the traveling geologist, Chris Spencer.
Cover art provided by Chris Spencer and the hosts.
Our theme song is Unlock Me by Prazkanal. Editing services provided by the amazing Katie Bradley.
Hosted by and researched by us, Amy Atwater and Megan Weatherall. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us on this tour de buttholes.